This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
You know what 2:30 in the afternoon feels like, right? You're sleepy, groggy, dying for a nap. So what do? Run for the coffee? Grab a soda? But how long does that last before you're back for more? Try this instead. Take 1 5-hour energy, then see what the rest of your day feels like. It sure won't feel like 2:30 anymore. Instead of sleepy and groggy, you could be bright and alert without the jitters. 5-hour energy is packed with B vitamins, amino acids, and as much caffeine as a cup of the leading premium coffee. It has zero sugar, zero herbal stimulants, and only 4 calories. The 2-ounce shot takes seconds to drink, and in minutes, you're feeling like your old self again. And that feeling lasts for hours. So replace all those afternoon coffees and sodas with 1 5-hour energy. 5-hour energy. Hours of energy now. No 2:30 feeling later. Individual results may vary. In a clinical trial, 5-hour energy significantly outperformed placebo on continuity of attention and self-related alertness. Neither 5-hour energy nor placebo affected blood sugar or mood. See 5hourenergy.com for more information.
It's 11 o'clock.
It's time to play that real kick-ass open.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show. With sports director Doug Duda.
Doug Duda with a sports update on ESPN.
Pick and roll, and Olmstead is wide open from Romy. And he's got him locked up, and he gets the pin. Michael Klingensmith gets past, knocked away by Ritschka. Jesse goes in for the layup, and it's up and in. And Ravenna's going to win state.
And Big Daddy Tony Davis.
It is now a new trophy. We have a new champion. A new champion is crowned.
Be big. I'll be big anyway. I don't know how much of a help I'll be.
This is so Apollo Creed and Rocky in the middle of the ring.
And now it's time for the best sports show in central Nebraska.
I wouldn't go that far, Mayor.
It's the Doug and Daddy Show.
And a good Monday morning, everyone, as we wind down into the second half of July. It is time for another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show. Over the next hour, we will be talking sports on the local, state, and national scene, and we want you to be a part of it. All you have to do is give us a buzz at 888-455-ESPN. That's 888-455-3776. The Net Popper inbox is wide open. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Our 12 teams in 12 days takes us to Texas at the Longhorns. You have questions for Chip Brown of OrangeBloods.com. We would love to hear from you. All you have to do is shoot us an email, and we'll try and get those passed along to Chip as we preview. We've got 5 to go. 7 down, 5 to go. Texas today, Colorado tomorrow. Wednesday, we'll be talking about Oklahoma, Kansas Thursday, and Nebraska Roundtable to wrap things up on Friday. And 1 week from today, we'll be talking with you live from Dallas, Texas, in the Big 12 Media Days. It is the Big 12 Conference Football Media Days. Nebraska is up on that first day, and we'll have a chance to talk to some of the players and coaches from around the Big 12 Conference media. And I think the common thread will be it's wide open. It is wide open. I really think that the one thing that will be most in common is that everybody's probably going to favor Nebraska to win the North. Outside of that, I don't know what else will be there. So that's what's coming up on the program today. Love to hear from you, Doug Duda, along with Big Daddy Tony Davis. We talk football, baseball, golf, and more on the program today. And just glad to see you didn't get blown away.
Yeah, stormy Saturday night. Hope you survived cruise night all right out there. But a little bit of a concern towards the end of the latter part of that, but we got through it all right. I think no injuries to be reported, so I hope everybody had a good time and everybody was safe, at least, and survived the power lines being down and whatever else was down in your area. A lot of corn down in your area.
Congratulations to the American Legion teams from Kearney Post 52, Runza, Hastings, that are all making it to the state tournaments that begin this week. And we're down to, in some cases, the finals. In most cases, 3 teams left in all of these junior regionals. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show today. But as I predicted on Wednesday's program, a no-name would win the British Open.
Yeah. The first day in the leaderboard, like always, a no-name will be there. That's what you said.
I will also say that Rory McIlroy was the best golfer at the British Open. Okay? Who won it again?
Apologize.
Who won it?
Apologize for your statement.
Who won it?
Oosthuizen.
That's pretty close. That's pretty close. Nobody's nailed it yet. So, yeah. To shoot 80 and finished third. Rory McIlroy was the best golfer. He got the wrong end of the draw. Oosthuizen did not get the wrong end of the draw, was in the clubhouse at 12 under when all the bad weather came on Friday, and he was able to survive and deservedly won the British Open. So congratulations, and we go right to the Dent Popper inbox. Here we go. A full day of Bristol Monkeys banging us over the head about how terrible the British Open was. I, for one, watched even more coverage than usual because a no-name like Oosthuizen had a chance to win. His best place finish in a major previous to yesterday, 73rd. I would rather see that than the striped one any day. Look for a slump buster tonight. Go Royals. Powder Blue Flan, Jeff. Well, again, the Royals have found a way to, just when people start paying attention again, go on a six-game losing streak. Three to go into the break, three to come out, and those are at home. And John Buck makes his return to Royal Stadium and Kauffman Stadium tonight when the Royals host Toronto. And you can hear the first game here on ESPN at 7:10. You know, having Tiger there is good for the sport, Jeff. That's okay if you're not a Tiger fan. That's fine. But to see the way everybody else fell apart, double bogeys, or run three birdies and then run three bogeys.
If you're Paul Casey.
It was just a strange circumstance, and Oosthuizen was the only one that was able to avoid putting up a big number in this entire championship.
It's amazing that for as well as he played on such difficult conditions, and let's be honest, he had to play in that wind the last 2 days and never had that big number, that no one's heard of this kid or nobody's seen him before this.
Well, he's only 54th in the world, which means he's doing very well on the non-PGA Tour, European Tour, any spots he's playing outside of the United States. So he's 54th in the world, people. Put it in perspective, Angel Cabrera was like 89th when he won the U.S. Open. And you know what? We'd heard of Angel Cabrera, okay? John Daly, when he won, it was like 590-something. Ben Curtis, 374th or something like that. And nobody had heard of Ben Curtis, even though he had been an American. I guess maybe we should have heard of Louis Oosthuizen and maybe some guys on the Golf Channel that covered the European Tour and some of the lesser PGA Tour events knew who this guy was. And, of course, everybody says, oh, yeah, great swing. Well, let's hold on. If it was so great, he would have won before now. But don't diminish what he's done. He shot 16 under at St. Andrews when nobody else could get to double digits in the entire field.
I was just going to say, yeah, if he wins by one or two strokes, okay, you can, you know, the kid stretched it out. Eight shots better than anybody else.
I ask you right now, who is the best golfer in the world? Right now.
You'd have to say Westwood.
You put five guys out there, and your top five, who's going to win?
Westwood.
Lee Westwood is definitely putting himself in position with the top three finishes in the majors this year. And right now, your major winners, Phil Mickelson, Graham McDowell, and Louis Oosthuizen.
I mean, as you look down the leaderboard, Doug, and these got some big names up there, but you look at those top, I mean, McIlroy, you don't put him in there. Henrik Stenson, Paul Casey's a big name, but you don't put him in the top five in the world, do you? Tiger's still there. He's finished, what, fourth, 23rd this year. I suppose you'd be Westwood. Woods would be there. I don't know. Mickelson was there for a lot of the time this week, and then all of a sudden he throws up the big numbers.
He can't get out of his own way. Phil gets something going and then decides he's in too good a position and finds ways to hook irons out of bounds, stuff that I would have thought only golfers of my ability were able to do. But give the credit where credit is due, and he is the winner of the British Open, and it was fun. For all the coverage on ESPN, you could watch just about all of the golf all 4 days. And with, again, it being in the morning, that was pretty awesome. And then carrying into the afternoon to be able to watch most of the golf. Your thoughts on the British Open, all you have to do is send your email to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com or 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776.
I really thought a great moment of this tournament was, of course, one of those legends going across the bridge at 18 in Tom Watson and going down and kissing the bridge and then waving to the crowd as the people just went crazy. And then had he hold out the shot, would have been one of those memories for the ages where he's just on the left lip as he, how he spins the ball and runs it up to literally a tickle away from going in would have been truly...
The place would have erupted. Oh. It would have been the memory of the entire tournament. It would have been as loud as any time at British Open history at St. Andrews had that one in for Watson late on Friday.
And the deal was time was running down. Tiger says tee off to make sure you can finish. Don't want to come back and play one hole on Saturday morning and then go shower and do your duties for TV, which obviously he had agreed to do before the tournament if things didn't work out. Get up here, get teed off so you can finish this. And the crowd waited around. It was just, and then they go back and they show Arnold Palmer going across the bridge. They showed Jack going across the bridge. Great, great moment for golf.
Mark Calcavecchia. Ooh, that was the down. I mean, got off to such a horrid start Saturday, righted the ship, and then came back and shot 80 yesterday. You have to wonder if the strain was too much, if the injuries were too much, if the pressure was too much, because he's the kind of guy that's kept it steady over there. He finished all the way back. I think it was like in a tie for 42nd. After throwing up an 80 yesterday. So not a good weekend for the Laurel native, Mark Calcavecchia, struggling on both Saturday and Sunday.
You thought was America's best chance for going into Sunday. You thought that...
Going into Saturday.
Or going into Saturday, I guess you hope or thought that was one of America's big chances. American golfers just didn't fare well in this tournament, and they're making a big deal about that all over the place when they're looking at the Ryder Cup and everybody... getting together and how well those guys are playing compared to the Americans right now looks to be a real uphill battle, according to a lot of people that are experts in that field.
Question is, we change subjects here before we head towards our first break. We're also going to give you a chance, folks, to get qualified for Cox Classic tickets. We'll open the phone lines up in just a little bit, and then later this week we'll be drawing out for clubhouse tickets. Get your clubhouse access wherever you need to go to watch the Cox Classic on the Nationwide Tour July 29th through the 1st of August. We're giving away pairs of clubhouse passes, so if you haven't got registered yet, we'll have that opportunity here in just a couple of moments. Daddy, I find this interesting. And first off, congratulations. But the Hastings College Athletic Hall of Fame, they announced who they're going to enshrine late on Friday. We had it on our Friday afternoon sportscast here. But not a chance to get a lot of talk here about this. All of the inductees are directly related to women's basketball, which is great. Also, all of the inductees are tied in between 2002 and 2004. My question is, have they inducted everybody else? That is one of the strangest things I have ever seen when it comes to Hall of Fames or groups or putting, no matter
what. Very deserving people, but...
That's what I'm saying. Has everybody else been put in? There's not one football, baseball, soccer. I mean, they've had good teams. I scratch my head and go, and I got to see all of it recently. We were over there for one of the All-Star games, and they continue to build on there at Farrell Arena and upstairs in the Hall of Fame room where all the cool plaques are and awards, and it's really a nice place. But you see a lot of the people with local ties. You go, oh, yeah, Hastings College, really cool, yeah. And there are a lot of people that are in the Hall of Fame. But they're going to honor the 02 and 03 National Championship women's basketball teams. Liz Herbeck, Carrie Hofstetter, they were both on those teams. Mary Stoom, now Mary Stoom Johnson, our Hildreth girl, she's going in. She was a first-team NAIA All-American. Then Tony Hobson, a part of Hastings College, but he also was the coach of those teams. And those are the people that are going in. Sounds like a women's basketball banquet. Outstanding. And this is outstanding, and this is not to diminish that, but it just doesn't that strike you as weird?
You would think that you would have said just that. And then from football, we have Tom whatever and, go down the other sports. You're right. That is a little bit strange, I think.
I think they found everybody that's worthy of being inducted, apparently. Well, I guess if you're not in the Hastings College Hall of Fame this year, you just won't forget it. It's over. Or maybe they just decided to put all the women's basketball players in and then, we could put in, Jack Black from the baseball team, soccer team, football team, volleyball team, but then it'd be six basketball and one volleyball, and we wouldn't want the attention taken away. So who knows? Maybe no basketball players going next year.
Awesome women's basketball team, though.
Good Lord. It's unbelievable what they've been able to do over there. Unbelievable what they've been able to do. And while we are away, Larry Asante has signed his deal. 4 years, just under $2 million with the Cleveland Browns. He was the safety chosen in the fifth round of the draft. by Cleveland. The Browns have yet to sign a whole ton of folks, including their first-round pick and quarterback Colt McCoy and their second-round picks and a lot more. So they're working their way from the bottom up, evidently.
I got to think. You wonder how many games into the season you'll be before the 15-yard flag comes out on Larry for drilling somebody 3 yards out of bounds or horse-collaring somebody. I mean, when you think of Larry Asante, that's, you don't go, oh, my God, what a devastating hitter. You think, God, there were some dumb penalties that guy committed. Since we're talking Texas football, everybody's right now is going, oh, criminy.
Horse collar? Is that what you think?
Oh.
Go to our website and to vote on our poll question as we get you ready for Big 12 Media Days. There's no need to put up the question, who do you think will win the Big 12 North, because we know how that'll work. So we put up, who do you think will win the Big 12 South? Oklahoma, Texas, Texas A&M, or one of the other three? Go to ESPNSuperstation.com. Our poll question brought to you by Sun Heat, the last one we've had up there for quite a while. Just wondering if folks were happy that Nebraska joined the Big Ten. Are you happy that Nebraska joined the Big Ten? Overwhelming yes, 86%, no, 9%, don't know, 5%. People have been asking me this for months. They've been asking you this for months. My standard reply is, if the boys in Lincoln believe it's the right thing to do, because we do not know for sure how this for sure to the real last penny is going to affect the finances, the money brought in, the academics. I mean, we're just looking at it as a football. Seems like most fans are doing that. I still put myself in the don't know. If they say it's right, then I'm on board. Would I rather be playing in the Big 12? I still maintain yes. And I think I am in the minority of that. I think you've tried to sell the Big 10. I'm still not sure if you think playing football in the Big 10 is better for the University of Nebraska.
I don't know what's better or not, but I do know that this way, there's equal, you're on equal footing in the Big Ten, and they've said that for a long time, whether you're Northwestern, whether you're Iowa, whether you're Penn State, whether you're Ohio State, whether you're Nebraska. That's not the case in the Big 12, never will be the case. There's one team that makes the rules in the Big 12. Why that is, I don't know, but that's the way it is. And certain people didn't like that. And
what rules did Texas make besides having the game, and we've already went over why it's in Texas more than anything else? Again, basketball's in Kansas City. Baseball's in Oklahoma City. Anything else I don't think anybody cares about. There is no volleyball conference tournament. And again, we have agreed on why this game, outside of having Texas fans, Nebraska fans don't have any problem traveling to Dallas. We saw that in the Big 12 championship game. So, again, as we get farther away from the shock that we are now in the Big 10, we continue to look back and go, what is it that is so bad? And I'm still waiting for that answer.
Don't you think it's agreed over the money contracts? It's agreed where the money went?
I think Nebraska is number two, whichever. I mean,
they're two or three.
Texas is one and Nebraska is two in all decision-making in the Big 12 Conference. Now, these decisions about where to play the game, I understand that there's all these 11-to-1 votes. I get that. But that is, Texas only has one vote. Kansas State, Iowa State, Colorado, Missouri, all members of the North.
I would be interested to say, Iowa State, why did you vote? I don't even know why they had a vote. They're never going to play in the championship. That befuddles me in the first place. Here's your equal vote, Kansas State. You're never going to be there, Bill Snyder. Yeah, you're never going to be there, Paul Rhodes.
Well,
Dan Hawkins, you're never going to be in the Big 12 title game.
You want to know why? The one time that they might get there, they want it to be cool. They want it to be all that it can be. They want it to be in a Dallas, a Houston, a San Antonio. They don't want it to be in the cold of Kansas City, and nobody else has stepped up to the plate.
That's the reason you're saying? I'm saying the reason is because I'd rather take my athletic director and my good group of alumni buddies and boosters to Dallas than I would Kansas City.
Oh, well, yeah.
when they know they're never going to be there.
888-455-ESPN. That's the number. If you would like to get registered right now for tickets to the Cox Classic, we're going to be drawn out later this week. We've got a group that we've taken from last week, and we'll add your name to it. Call now if you would like to get registered for our drawing for tickets to the Cox Classic. Clubhouse tickets get everywhere you want to go. Call now at 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Chip Brown from OrangeBloods.com to preview Texas is just a few minutes away.
Now's the time to start training for this year's Nebraska Senior Games. Seniors ages 15 up will have the chance to test their skills in a variety of different sports and activities, including track and field, cycling, golf, bowling, basketball, swimming, tennis, and many more. This year's games will be held August 12th through the 15th in Kearney. Don't wait to sign up. Go to NebraskaSeniorGames.com for registration forms. The 2010 Nebraska Senior Games, where competition never gets old. Get in the game at NebraskaSeniorGames.com.
The courtyard at Cunningham's is now open, and there's a lot of reasons to come out, like enjoying great food off the grill. Their bacon-wrapped shrimp, amazing. Or how about their outstanding prime rib? Also in the courtyard, there's live music Tuesday through Saturday with local and regional acts. Happy hour from 3 to 6, and don't forget Cunningham's also has the coldest beer in town. The courtyard, the perfect place to get away from it all. It's like being on vacation at a place you love to go time and time again. The courtyard at Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
Complete Nutrition is extending the 30% off Reveal Extreme sale. Summer's here, and whether you're hitting the beach, lake, or pool, Complete Nutrition wants to remind you there's still time to lose weight for this summer. Reveal Extreme is the strongest fat burner to hit the market since ephedrine. And the makers of Reveal are so confident in this product, they're extending their offer of 30% off Reveal Extreme for the entire month of July. There's still time to lose weight fast for swimsuit season. And with 30% off through the month of July, now's the perfect time to get to Complete Nutrition and pick up Reveal Extreme today. Please note, if you lose more than 10 pounds in 10 days, discontinue use.
For a limited time, receive a free bottle of water pills with purchase of Reveal only at Complete Nutrition in Kearney on 2nd Avenue north of Sun Mart's.
Look, feel,
swimming around underwater, one thing fish find irresistible is live bait. Problem is, their appetite gets them into trouble. On the other hand, fishermen have no trouble buying any kind of bait at the boathouse, many of which aren't stocked by anyone else, including chicken parts and guts, shad, gizzards, crawdads, shrimp, leeches, minnows, and of course, worms. See the boathouse, a mile north of Grand Island on 281, for repair and used boat sales, too. Log on to theboathousegi.com.
When I step onto your farm,
I am Dynagro.
I am dedicated to serving you.
I am Dynagro.
I will offer only the best seed for your farm.
I am Dynagro.
I represent a national brand that focuses its research on your success. I am Dynagro. Call Dynagro at 1-800-652-9298. Grow with the best.
Checking out our forecast, throughout our Monday, a blend of sun and clouds. We'll have a slight chance for a scattered rain shower thunderstorm to develop, and our high above the average into the middle 90s. For tonight, still a possibility for an isolated rain shower storm, low near 67, currently 73.
Back on the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Aaron from Hastings, Lonnie from Minden, Mike from Grand Island. They are the latest qualifiers to win tickets to the Cox Classic on the nationwide tour. Not only will we be in Dallas for Big 12 Media Days coming up next Monday through Wednesday, then we're at the Cox Classic Thursday and Friday in Omaha looking for a lot of fun. And, boy, they were going deep yesterday. It's going to be tough for them to duplicate that. A lot of money going out on the table. Daddy, a couple of emails here before we get to Chip Brown from OrangeBloods.com. Buck and Kearney says, if Texas is the Yankees of the Big 12, Nebraska is the Red Sox.
Probably a pretty good equation. You're all just looking at football.
You know what? It's okay. That's okay.
Lumpy has chimed in and said partial qualifiers in the headquarters.
El who?
El Conquistador.
Mm-hmm.
And the headquarters in Dallas.
Again, I say, there is no Big 12 football there's no Big 12 university in Dallas, okay? What is that? Where else, again, where else would you put the Big 12 offices outside? Kansas City is about all you've got. You're going to put them in Omaha? Home of Creighton? You're going to put them in Omaha? You're not going to put them in Lincoln? You're not going to put them in Boulder? You're not going to put them in St. Louis?
I'd say Dallas because it's lovely this time of year.
And now for the last time, it's time to preview the 12 teams in 12 days on the Doug and Daddy Show's Big 12 Preview. Big 12 Media Days is fastly approaching, and Doug and Daddy will have guests from
Baylor,
Oklahoma,
Missouri,
Texas,
Colorado,
Oklahoma State,
K-State,
Texas Tech,
Kansas, Iowa State,
A&M,
and Nebraska.
Let's get you ready for Big 12 Media Days that starts on July 26th, 27th, and 28th. Not to mention give Doug and Daddy a chance to catch up with some old friends. It's time for the Big 12 Preview on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Really, Sam Bradford isn't worth that much. Anyway, it's time for 12 teams in 12 days. They came an injury away from maybe winning the national title. They were also a second away from not being in the national title. And we have talked to Chip Brown numerous times, especially during the all this expansion talk or breaking up of the conference and who's going where. But today we actually get to focus a little bit more on football. And apparently the team that everybody loves to hate is from Nebraska, if you're from Nebraska, is Texas. Again, Daddy, I want to beat Texas. I want to see Nebraska beat Texas. I just am in the minority when it comes to all this bitterness. Because that's the kind of person I am.
Well, we'll see if Chip's bitter towards Nebraska. I don't think he is.
He said he loves Nebraska.
Chip, how are you?
I'm doing great. I love Nebraska.
Chip, have they been already in negotiations for like a 2018 and 19 home and home with the Huskers and Longhorns?
Can we get that, please? Can we get some future games on the schedule? I mean, my goodness, we're going to have a worldwide redout on October 16th. Can we get some future games?
Chip, you know, I knew we were going there. Is OrangeBloods.com making a big deal of it? Is Texas fans making a big deal of it? I don't think anybody would have caught a whiff at College Game Day not come up with this. Are Texas fans taking this as a shot in the chin?
No, I mean, I think it's not a surprise. I mean, the way that everything has gone down, and the way that the realignment story played out, I think there's no question that there was acrimony between Nebraska and Texas. I mean, mostly, I think that Nebraska didn't like the way that Texas behaved as a conference member and then tried to say that if Nebraska comes out of the conference, that the conference is dead. We saw that in the remarks from Tom Osborne. And then when when the video comes out, it's just clear that this is the team that Nebraska wants to wrap their hands around the neck of. And that's what this is all about. That's what college football, the spirit, the tradition. You don't get this kind of stuff in the NFL where it's all watered down with free agency and, salary cap and all that stuff. This is just school against school, great tradition. I guess it's a rivalry because these two teams have had great games. All of them have been close, but no question, Nebraska fans are sick of Texas because Texas is 8-1. Against Nebraska since the formation of the Big 12.
I was just going to say, Chip, in order for it to be a rivalry, we've got to beat you sometime, don't we? At 8-1. They've been great games, get me wrong.
Well, the games have been great. The games have been great. And that's what it's all about. And that's what the fans remember. And there's no question that, there's some other stuff that goes along with this with regard to how these two schools have viewed each other. And I think Texas, again, I said it even during realignment, Texas from the administration level has always looked at Nebraska as a vital member of the Big 12, a member of the Big 12 North that they have to go into TV negotiations with. And that's why Texas felt until ABC ESPN came in and said, look, we'll keep paying you as a 10-team league as if you were still a 12-member league. Until that happened, Texas was ready to bolt because they saw Nebraska as such a key member of the negotiating table for future TV contracts.
Chip Brown of OrangeBloods.com joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, our 12 teams in 12 days. It's Texas Day. Well, let's get to the football. Outside of bringing in a young man that we saw play pretty decent in the second half of the national championship game at the quarterback position, give us your thoughts on where Texas is. Many people have them in the top 10. Some of them still have them in the top 5. They are one of the teams to beat in the nation.
Well, all their questions are on offense, in my opinion. There's two players on the Texas roster who cannot get injured this season, and that's Garrett Gilbert, the player you just mentioned, because the drop-off behind him is cavernous. And then Keaston Randall, defensive tackle, who really came on last year, will try and fill in where Lamar Houston, the second-round draft pick of the Oakland Raiders, left off. And those two guys are the key to the season, really. If they stay healthy, I think Texas has a chance. But, look, the offense is where all the question marks are. Their offensive line, everyone saw in the Big 12 title game last year with three fifth-year seniors. It was horrible. Adam Ulatowski, who was seen as the best player on that line, runs a 5.5 at the combine, doesn't even get drafted. He's already out of football. They've got to hope that the four seniors that are stepping in for those guys are better. And Texas is talking about a power running game with play action, kind of getting more towards what Nebraska was doing last year on offense, what Alabama was doing on offense, getting away from the zone read, getting away from the gun runs, and getting into the I formation with an H-back and a tailback and trying to pound people.
Chip, how much does getting Gilbert into a game like the national title game propel him into this season? Whereas if you waited until this season, how many games would it have taken him to get up to speed to where he is now?
Well, I think it helped him with the leadership more than anything. His dad played professional football. A little trivia, he's actually the only player ever to go to 5 straight Super Bowls. He was the backup quarterback to Jim Kelly in Buffalo and then the backup to Stan Humphries in San Diego. Back in the, a decade or so ago. And so now, he's known football. He's got a 30-game winning streak as a starter coming in from high school. He won 2 straight state championships in 4A in Texas. He's been under the gun. He's been under pressure. He's a good, good player. He's got a big arm, bigger arm than Colt McCoy. But coming back and fighting the way he did in the second half of that game earned him some leadership and credibility in the offseason, and that's really what he needed. After you lose a guy like Colt McCoy, who's got 45 wins as a starter and had that team, by its shirt collar, that's what Garrett Gilbert needed, was some credibility to organize 7-on-7 and everything, and it sounds like that's happening.
Chip Brown of OrangeBloods.com joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show previewing the Texas Longhorns. As Texas gets ready, they've got some names, at least, on their non-conference schedule. I don't know if any of them are going to be powerhouses outside of UCLA, but by the time this Nebraska game rolls around, they should have been tested, shouldn't they, Chip?
No question. I mean, you go to Lubbock on September 18th, and I like what Tommy Tuberville's doing. I think he's smartly moved to a 3-4 because that's where his talent is in the linebacker position, not so much on the defensive line, and he wants to run the football. We'll see. Tuberville's always been somewhat offensively challenged. But going into Lubbock, it's the first time Texas will have been there since the last second loss, the Michael Crabtree touchdown that kept Texas out of the national championship game in 08, or the Big 12 title game, and most likely the national championship game in 08. So, that's a high-profile game. We'll test Garrett Gilbert in some adverse conditions. And then Oklahoma on October 2nd, speaks for itself, tough game in the Cotton Bowl, and then a week off before going to Lincoln. In my mind, that's a game Texas can lose. I'm predicting Texas will lose that game because I think that the Nebraska defense, if they stay healthy, will present all kinds of challenges for the Texas offense. And I'm not sold on this Texas offense yet. If they come out gangbusters and blow through Tech and OU, maybe I'll reconsider. But right now, based on what I saw last year in the Big 12 title game, I'm going to predict Nebraska to win that game in Lincoln. and then these two teams meet again. I think Texas will beat Oklahoma. I don't know what Phil Steele has seen in Oklahoma that they can win the national championship. But I think Texas plays Nebraska again in the Big 12 title game.
Chip Brown joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Chip, when you look at that defense that have really, really just overwhelmingly talented defense from Texas, how many people do you have on that preseason defensive team?
From Texas?
Yeah, from Texas, yes.
You know what? I've got Keenan Robinson on there at linebacker. And I think Keyston Randall and Jared Crick are the two best defensive tackles in the conference. I know people will say Adrian Taylor at OU or whatever, but Keyston Randall on there. And then I love Texas' secondary. I mean, Curtis Brown, Shockey Brown, Aaron Williams, Blake Gideon. You know, I like Prince Amakimura as well. But I think Prince Amakimura, you know, and some of those guys from Texas, those are the best players in the secondary in the conference, in my opinion. So I think it's almost an all-Texas, Nebraska, you know, Big 12 defense.
Well, that secondary is just outstanding for Texas, at least on paper and some of the stats they've put up. What about the D-line? What about the ability to stop the run, Chip?
Well, and they led the nation in run defense last year, but again, that was with Lamar Houston and Sergio Kindle on there, and those two are obviously in the NFL now. So I think they'll be okay on the defensive line because I think they're going to be forced to push Sam Acho inside, which is going to mean Eddie Jones and Alex Okafor on the outside. Now, I think those guys are incredibly talented, but again, you just don't want to – if you have an injury on that line, you're getting into some young guys who haven't seen the fire yet. So, you know, Will Muschamp is counting on guys staying healthy in that front line. At linebacker, Texas is loaded. I mean, they've got, you know, Emmanuel Acho, Keenan Robinson, Dustin Ernest, all have seen the big game. They're battle-tested. They're ready to go. And then you bring in five-star talents like Jordan Hicks, freshman, Tevin Jackson, freshman, Aaron Benson, freshman. Those guys will all see the field in limited action because they're going to have to take over this, you know, help take over this defense next year. And you know, in the secondary, they've got depth because they've got young guys like Kenny Vaccaro, who no one's heard of, and then you know Christian Scott, another player who was out academically last year, is the biggest hitter on the team. And Nolan Brewster, who had a shoulder injury, so they're loaded in the secondary, probably the best secondary in the country from a talent and depth standpoint. And Will Muschamp always finds a way to rush the passer. I think this Texas defense, if they stay healthy on the defensive line, will be among the best in the country.
Interestingly enough, he brings up Jordan Hicks. I've got him as my newcomer of the year. He is a five-star linebacker that should get on the field and probably make some noise for that Texas defense. On special teams-wise, everybody loves to hate Hunter Lawrence after the field goal last year. How will he be replaced?
Yeah, Hunter Lawrence was huge. That's a huge loss for Texas. He was the most accurate field goal kicker in Texas history. So when you talk about losing the most accurate field goal kicker in your school history and you're replacing him with a guy who hasn't kicked a meaningful field goal since high school in Justin Tucker, that's cause for nervousness. Now, Mack Brown says that Tucker was fine in the spring. But that's a huge question mark. One thing that is not a question mark on special teams is the return game. DJ Monroe, Marquise Goodwin combined to return three kickoffs for touchdowns last year. Those two are electric. They'll be on the field together for kick returns. And then from a punt return standpoint, they lose Earl Thomas and Jordan Shipley, who were incredible in punt returns for Texas last year. But they pick up Aaron Williams, who I think has a chance to remind some people of Charles Woodson. He's that talented as a cornerback, and now he gets the chance to return some punts. He is an unbelievable playmaker for Texas. So the return game for Texas on the special team side should not be a problem.
Well, you led me kind of into a little bit of what I wanted to ask you, so let's just take it to the next level. Jordan Shipley was so good on returns, but also going to miss him as a wide receiver. I assume if Mr. Gilbert is going to get off to a good start through the air, he's got to have some guys that are going to catch the football like Texas has had here the last few seasons. How do you feel about that wide receiver core?
I think it's a question mark. And people love Malcolm Williams because he looks like Terrell Owens. He's 6'3", 220. He just physically bowls over defensive backs. They can't press him at the line, but he drops the ball in big situations. How can you trust that? I mean, he dropped a touchdown pass in the national championship game when Garrett Gilbert needed him the most in the third quarter. They don't really mount much of a rally until Jordan Shipley finally catches the ball from Garrett Gilbert in that situation. The guy I trust the most as a receiver, I think, is Marquise Goodwin. He made two of the biggest plays of the year last year for Texas. He had an incredible catch-and-run touchdown against Oklahoma in a 16-13 victory, the only touchdown of the game. And talk about Hunter Lawrence. He had six field goals in the last two victories over Oklahoma. Both of those close games, come-from-behind games. Hunter Lawrence was huge against Oklahoma the last 2 years as a kicker. But Marquise Goodwin, to me, is the guy that will show up in the big moment. He's a world-class long jumper, used to jumping in big stadiums. Strange that you track as a credible resume point for a football player, but he's just good. And then I think you are looking at some of the young guys. A guy, Mike Davis, five-star kid who has blown everyone away in 7-on-7, you know, physically looks like he's already been in the Texas program a couple of years, and fearless. Had all of his biggest games at the 5A level in high school in Texas in playoff games. So I think Mike Davis is a name that people need to sort of file away as a breakout type player for Texas this year.
Chip Brown from OrangeBloods.com joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Chip, offensive and defensive players of the year for you, and who's going to be in that title game?
Well, I think, you know, offensive player of the year, you know, you kind of look at guys who, you know, like Daniel Thomas at Kansas State. You're looking at maybe Blaine Gabbert, you know, at Missouri as an outside shot type of player. You know, I'm not buying DeMarco Murray at Oklahoma at all. But, you know, I think that's a bit of a toss-up. And, you know, I want to see Niles Paul. I think he's electric. I think he's if Zach Lee at quarterback for Nebraska really had the problems with his throwing arm last year, and that is maybe why he was so inconsistent, and he can really take it up a notch. Niles Paul is electric. I mean, that's a guy who frees up Roy Helu to run the football. He is as important to Nebraska, I think, on that offensive side as anybody. So, you know, I think that's a bit wide open. You could even see a guy like Garrett Gilbert get in the race if he gets off to the fast start that we talked about. And then, you know, defensive player, you know, you got to look at Travis Lewis at Oklahoma, the linebacker. I talked to NFL guys from my days covering the Cowboys. They love Travis Lewis. And he's a guy who I think is just an incredibly productive player and is everywhere. And he's a leader on that team. And Jeremy Beal at Oklahoma is a guy you got to look at. And Jared Crick at Nebraska. You know, I think Crick, a lot of people wondering if Crick is going to have the same kind of year without Ndamukong Suh next to him. But Prince Amukamara, you know, can he increase his interception numbers? Because those two, to me, are the MVPs of the Nebraska defense. Jared Crick, Prince Amukamara, they just put so much pressure on opposing quarterbacks to make the right decision. I really like what Nebraska has coming back on defense.
Cody Green, your starting quarterback for Nebraska.
Oh, Would you just be quiet? Hold on. He didn't even tell us who he thought was playing in the Big 12 championship game. Who you got? I think we know. We've kind of went around it. Is it Texas and Nebraska, in your opinion?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I think Texas beats Oklahoma in the Big 12 South. And then I think that Nebraska beats Texas and Lincoln, but they get the rematch in Cowboys Stadium. And at that point, I have a feeling that Texas could pull it out because Garrett Gilbert back in the state of Texas playing for a title. I get the feeling that Texas will have itself figured out on offense by then.
You're the best, Chip Brown from OrangeBloods.com. We go nowhere else for Texas information because we've got the best in Chip Brown. He's got his Hollywood star. I mean, it's right next to Chris Berman's. He is the best. Thanks, Chip.
Chip, see you in Dallas.
Hey, you got it, guys.
Take care, buddy.
See you next week.
Sounds great. Chip Brown, orangebloods.com. A lot to dissect there. Let's take a break. We're back with more after this.
Hey, this is Mike Golick for Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. So in baseball, you can go 1-for-3 and still have a good night, but not when you're serving USDA Prime Steaks. Luckily, Ruth's Chris is always at the top of their game. Each night, they serve up their hand-selected steaks tender, juicy, and sizzling on a 500-degree plate so they stay hot and delicious to the very last bite. You have to respect that kind of consistency. It's a lot like me, except the only thing I'm serving up in the morning is beatdown zucchini. Visit your local Ruth's Chris today.
Kenny Main taking calls.
I just got a new razor myself, so yes, I do believe that grooming is important to the world of sports. Point guards just don't look right wearing full beards. Next caller. Hockey players, we get it. You're scruffy. You're Canadian. Tighten it up, eh? Next. I just think a lot of athletes would benefit from the Gillette Fusion Pro Glide razor.
What does that have to do with New York's bullpen?
Not a thing. Next, we go to Shave from Washington, D.C.
It's Dave.
Whatevs.
New Gillette Fusion Pro Glide. It turns skeptics into believers by turning shaving into gliding.
It might have started as a little pebble hitting the windshield, and then you see it. A crack spreading right across your vision line. Well, B&B Glass Incorporated will fill your crack.
Wouldn't that be in poor taste?
You got a busted window? B&B will replace it. A chip? B&B will repair it. But that's not all. With B&B's Anytime Emergency Glass Service, anytime circumstances present you with a pain in the glass, call B&B Glass for tint, replacement, or repair.
B&B Glass, located at 922 Central in Kearney.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, our approach to insurance is simple. One policy for your home, cars, motorcycle, all your toys. One premium for simplified bill paying. One deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence. All handled by your local Farm Bureau agents, Matt Myers and Rich Peters. See how simple insurance can be. Call Matt Myers and Rich Peters in Kearney today at 234-4922. That's 234-4922. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Checking out our forecast, throughout our Monday, a blend of sun and clouds. We'll have a slight chance for a scattered rain shower thunderstorm to develop and our high above the average into the middle 90s. For tonight, still a possibility for an isolated rain shower storm, low near 67, currently 73.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Hey, I want to get as many people qualified as I possibly can, because later in the week we're going to be giving you a chance to win tickets to Nebraska's Big Rodeo in Burwell. Is that here already? Unbelievable. We're going to be doing that over the next couple of weeks. That is on its way. And we want to get you registered for the Cox Classic. So call now, 888-455-3776, 888-455-ESPN. Merritt's going to take another couple, three names. I don't know what kind of mood he's in today. He'll take whatever he wants. Get you registered as we draw out later this week for clubhouse seats, clubhouse passes to get you in to the Cox Classic. But don't forget tonight, whatever you're watching, whether it's, repeat of the golf, little horse racing, maybe baseball, Major League Baseball, all the great items of sports world are there for you at the Chicken Coop, because there's not a bad seat in the house. Kearney and Grand Island, all the televisions in HD. And don't forget that tonight, Mountain Oyster Night in Kearney. Oh, yeah, every Monday night, check out the Mountain Oysters. They now have walleye on the menu. Check out the new menus. They got a few little tweaks and a few additions there. So many flavors of wing sauce to put on whatever you want. You can put it on the chicken tender hoagie. You can put it on your salad. You can put it on your, well, your wings, boneless or bone-in. And, of course, if you're not into the chicken, they have got ribs. They have got steak. They have got pizza. They have got burgers. It is all there for you. And don't forget, every Wednesday night is Big Burger Night. $5 for any of the burgers on the menu, plus fries Wednesday nights from 5 to 10. And if you're planning a birthday party, a family reunion, an anniversary, or just a meeting, they can rent out, of course, the basement there with what is the party room is what we should say, because it's not just a basement, it's a party room. Scott or Colin can give you all the details. Check them out. And, of course, if you hit the right numbers, it could all be free with Keno. Lunch, dinner, they're there for you 7 days a week at the Chicken Coop, Kearney and Grand Island.
Any idea? Any idea? We're giving away tickets later in the week for Nebraska's biggest rodeo, who the Grand Marshal might be. Yes, Doug, a second cousin of mine, none other than Sean Davis, three-time world saddle bronc rider, 65, 67, 68. He's the general manager of the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo in Las Vegas, 1979 Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame inductee. So you're not going to want to miss it, people.
So much Hall of Fame inductions over the weekend. We talked to David Miller going into the High School Wrestling Hall of Fame from Kearney on Friday. We told you about the Hastings Hall of Fame, Grant Wistrom. Wasn't he... Didn't they give him this honor like 2 years ago? There's been like four different award ceremonies, but they were in South Bend on Sunday. Back to Texas football, Daddy. We make our predictions at the end of the week. I don't even know if we have to wait. I have picked Oklahoma. I am picking Nebraska in the Big 12 championship. Again, all this subject to change when we come back from Dallas. Your thoughts on Texas? There are holes there, but if Texas doesn't have recruits to fill those holes, then they're not Texas. I think they kind of keep on clicking along. And I didn't have time to ask Chip this, but will any Big 12 teams play for the national championship this year? What do you think?
Ooh. See, there you're splitting hairs there. You know, you'd think, should Nebraska and Texas both have a rematch there, should be a great opportunity for one of those teams to go on and play for the title. Obviously, that's a lot of other people have influence on that. Yeah, I think a Big 12 team will play for the national title. You got to hope it's the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Maybe that's going a little bit too far this early in Bo Pelini's tenure, but we'll have to wait and see. I think it's going to be Texas and Nebraska.
Well, we'll see. Oklahoma-Texas comes down to that. Again, because even if Nebraska beats Texas and then Texas beats Oklahoma, they get the tiebreaker there in the head-to-head. Of course, don't mention tiebreakers with Texas, Oklahoma, and anybody else in the South. I think Garrett Gilbert's going to be a fine, fine quarterback. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think they are going to need a running back, and they're projected to start this sophomore Newton. Can he do it? Because as Chip Brown said, the wide receivers may not be as strong as they're used to seeing. You got a sophomore quarterback, you got a sophomore running back. Can these wide receivers and can the line give Gilbert the time to get done what he needs to do? Everybody just assumes that they will be.
Well, here's the difference between Texas and everybody else, and many of you already know this, but when they have new people fill in, they're still five-star people. Athletically, they're as good as anybody out there. Now, can they do it in pressure situations? Can they do it all the chips in the middle of the table? By the way, World Series of Poker down there, final nine now. Anyway, all the chips in the middle of the table, that's a different story. We'll have to see if they can do it on that stage. But they've all come, from programs that are established, nine out of ten of them from Texas programs, playing that 5A level.
Tom in Hastings from the Dent Popper inbox says, Texas is like a hemorrhoid. They are a pain in the can. Thanks, Tom. Tomorrow on the show, we preview Colorado with Larry Zimmer. Chris Connor from Kearney Catholic going to join us. The huge top 10 volleyball camp / tournament will be in town later this weekend. She'll preview that with some great volleyball if you want to get a taste of that at this time of the year. Before we go to break, though, Daddy, why, again, is the media misconstruing what Michael Jordan said? You know what? You asked a question of Michael Jordan about the LeBron James, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade conglomerate. Michael Jordan did not say it was a bad thing and that he hated it. Michael Jordan said, well, I would have never thought about calling Larry Bird and Magic Johnson and all getting together to win the title.
Times have changed.
Times have changed. This is a different era. And you know what? In that era, those were the three. These are not the three. It may be the one. It's not like LeBron and Kobe are playing together, and I don't like the way that this story is. I mean, just go to ESPN.com and look at the headline. Really?
I'm right with you. I thought it was comical that there was any controversy at all. Like you said, he was asked a question. I thought he answered the question about as well as anybody could have answered the question. And then, oh my gosh, Michael thought it was a bad deal. No, that's not at all what he said. He just said, actually, I like to compete against the other people at my level, the people I thought or people thought were in my level. I like to go head-to-head with them. I think anybody that's a competitor does.
They've actually changed the headline as I recheck it on ESPN.com, so that's good. Somebody's editor got in there and got the job done. We'll take a break. Come back with more right after this.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd, host of The Herd. Well, I just got married. You know what everybody said at the wedding? Man, you look great. You know what I said? P90X. My energy at an all-time high. Lost an inch on my waist and 7 pounds, and I wasn't a guy that needed to lose a ton of weight. Then, how about this story about my friend and fellow ESPN radio host, Mike Golic? Mike was telling me about his changes he's seen in his blood work since doing P90X. He's a type 2 diabetic, but after his first 90 days using P90X, his doctor, who's also doing P90X, by the way, told him he's almost able to get off the meds. Plus, he lost over 20 pounds. Remember to talk to your doctor before starting P90X, and everybody's results will be different. Folks, try it out. No risk. 90-day guarantee of satisfaction, but only if you order it now. It works. 1-800-301-P90X. 1-800-301-P90X. Or go to ESPNRadio.com/Colin. ESPNRadio.com/Colin.
Hogan Sporting Goods invites you to hit the streets and save this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday during sidewalk sales in downtown Kearney. All clearance apparel and shoes will be an extra 40% off on Thursday, an extra 50% off on Friday, and an extra 60% off on Saturday. All shoes will be marked down from 20 to 40%, and select racks of name brand apparel will be marked half price. So come early for the best selection, or come late for the biggest savings. Hogan's has it, 2412 Central Avenue, Kearney.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Frederick and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuhl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuhl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Supertation. Back to the Dent Popper inbox here. Adam and Holdridge says, for as much as people hate on Chip Brown, I have to admit that he is very knowledgeable about Big 12 football. Dare I say I actually enjoyed listening to him talk? Excellent interview. Keep up the great work, Adam and Holdridge. Thanks, Adam. Other sports to get to. There's a new course record at Metal Arc Hills in Kearney, and if this ever happens to any of the courses around, please let us know. It's just that the qualifier for the Nebraska Amateur was at Metal Arc. There are five across the state. And Kyle Huss from Sydney, who will be a senior at Gonzaga, birdied the first four holes en route to an 8-under par 63, breaking the old course record of 64. UNK and Kearney High's Alex Farrell shot 467. The top 19 are headed to Happy Hollow for the Nebraska Amateur July 26th through the 29th, and other qualifiers going on around the state.
I actually spoke to Alex yesterday, said kids 5'3", 5'4", didn't hit the ball over 240, 250 yards, straight every time. Never missed a green.
Iron play
and
solid.
Rolled putts. Rolled putts.
And don't forget, Metal Arc Hills Club Championship is coming up this weekend, so don't forget to get signed up at Metal Arc Hills, 233-3265. The National Special Olympics got underway in Lincoln yesterday with their opening ceremonies. Andy Roddick was in town, put on a little clinic. Harrison Ford, a spokesman, was in town. But I know the kids, it appeared, really enjoyed Andy Roddick as that goes on here for the next 10 days in Lincoln. American Legion Baseball, congratulations to Kearney Post 52. The three-time defending state champs had to beat Hastings Johnson Imperial Homes. So Hastings, kind of on the both sides here. Happy for Coach Archer, disappointed or feel for Hastings, because they had put themselves in a position to maybe make it to the state tournament. But Kearney won twice yesterday, 12-6 and 4-2. The junior state tournament begins Friday at Omaha Westside. Kearney runs to beat Hastings 5 points, 8-3 yesterday to win the seniors. Both teams advance on to this 16-team state tournament. Kearney will play in Papillion. Hastings will play in Columbus. Grand Island Wells Fargo has qualified for the state tournament. And Grand Island Home Federal will try and win a area tournament when they play Columbus tonight. They clipped them early, and now they will move on. A couple of weird scores. What was it earlier this week? Cozad. Shelton Gibbon beat Cozad 26-24.
Oh, they went for two late in that ball game too, and I was very disappointed. Had some people upset. Come on, Coach Bubach. Get it together over there.
Here's some of the other juniors. This is all juniors where we are at going into tonight. The B5 is taking place in Albion, and O'Neill will play Wayne in the loser's bracket final. Then the winner would have to beat Aurora twice tomorrow. B6 juniors, Shelton Gibbon and McCook play tonight at 7 o'clock in Lexington. The winner would have to beat Broken Bow twice. C5 juniors in Hebron, Sutton will play David City tonight at 7. The winner will have to defeat Davenport Edgar twice to go to state. The C6 juniors, it is Taylor Burwell Sargent against Twin Plains tonight at 5:30. That is in Bolas. The winner would then have to beat DCB twice tomorrow. And they're ready for the finals in the C7 juniors at Hershey. Bertrand Loomis is going to have to beat Overton twice. First game at 5. If necessary, they would play a doubleheader tonight. So good luck to all of those teams in the area baseball tournaments. The rest of the seniors get going with their tournaments later this week.
That about does it, Doug. Done?
You got anything to add?
Wow.
I'm waiting for you to add something to the show today.
Well, you know what? This weekend, I was thinking this morning, what went on this weekend in sports? I go British Open and, well, the British Open. And, well, that's about it. Not a whole lot. Baseball was on the docket, but, boy, you pan around the stations this weekend, it was a lot of soccer starting to get on TV. Yeah. That's exactly what I thought. Hey, more football talk tomorrow. Larry Zimmer from Colorado set to join us, along with Kearney Catholic volleyball coach Chris Connor.
We want to thank Chip Brown from OrangeBloods.com for joining us today to preview Texas and all the folks that got qualified for our Cox Classic tickets. Who was the latest merit?
Monty from Eustace is the last guy that got in.
All right, Monty, great to have you on the list.
That's right. We'll have more chances for you to qualify tomorrow. We'll start drawing out winners here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Have a great day.
Bye-bye now.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.